I found my friend Lou Manx staring moodily into his martini at the Remo, and I asked him how the dinner had gone at Ed and Lisa's the night before. Never again, he said. Married and unmarried people should never mix. You can't be sentimental about these things. When your friends marry, you have to drop them and they have to drop you. Listen to this, he said. Yesterday, I pick Ed up at his office and go out there with him on the subway. Pretty soon he's telling me cha-cha, like, see, it's only a few minutes out here to Forest Hills. Why, some people work on the Upper East Side take longer getting back to the village. And that's not all. He even begins about they got trees out there and like that. I look at him and he shuts up. Listen, I remember him. I remember what he would have told you about trees before he got married. Anyway, so we get out there and she comes out in the Toreador pants and the blouse and the Mr. John apron. She's got on all her beads and there are candles on the table. Ed makes a big number about what'll I have to drink, like we're hardy English fox hunters, just in from a day in the tally-ho department. And I tell him, look, give me anything. So Lisa says, Ed, dear, show him that new drink you invented. This is the Specialité de la Maison, she tells me. And the next thing, Ed gives me an embarrassed look, half proud, and he ducks into the kitchen. And sure enough, they got the standard wedding present wearing goddamn blender in there. And the next thing, the lights are low, the bayberry candles are on, QXR is playing some cheap Vienna waltzes, and we're sitting in the dark, drinking a sickening daiquiri, and Lisa is telling me, you see, we discovered that just a touch, a soupçon of honey gives it that extra exotic flavor. With this, I look at Ed Cha-Cha, but he jumps up and says, how about another drink? And while he's in the kitchen making it, Lisa and I listen to the commercial for the Ritz Thrift Shop Gently Used Furs on QXR. Next, Ed comes out, and Lisa goes in to cook. By this time, I tell him to forget the daiquiris. Just give me the rum, Cha-Cha. From the kitchen, we hear rushing feet, clattering dishes. A glass breaks, and once Lisa yells out to herself. Something slams and slams again. And then a long, creepy, nervous silence. Finally, Lisa comes out, white-faced, her hair beginning to come down in wisps around her face. She and Ed have a whispered conversation while I pretend not to notice, and he looks red, but he puts on his coat and says without looking at me, he'll be right back. He cuts out, and Lisa goes back to the kitchen. I think I'd better try to giggle her up a little. Hell, I don't care that much about eating anyway, you know, Bill. And I look in the door to say something. But she don't see me because she's got every dish, pot, pan, basin, and teacup piled up and dirty all around her, on the floor, on the table, the chairs. She's even got a tureen, looks like farina and burned goldfish in her hand, looking for some empty pot to pour it in. But there ain't none. And while she's standing there, the hollandaise sauce on the stove boils over, and she looks up wild with tears in her eyes and finds me staring at her, Cha-Cha. I get a look turns my pancreas green, but she manages to follow it up with at least a winter smile, and she says, well, things will be all right in a minute. I tell her, sure, sure, and Ed comes back after a while and gives a look like, I only work here, man, I don't live here, and disappears with a big paper bag in the kitchen, too, and in a minute, I hear her in there crying. Me, I'm left all alone in the other room, listening to the clock tick, watching the candles burn down, desperately licking the last dregs out of the empty daiquiri glasses, and making up my mind, next time I see my psychoanalyst, I'll bop him in the nose. Cha-cha-cha?